Okay, Corson's connected. Fuck yes.
I love it.
Josh. Yo, fuck I yes!
Put my phone in, sorry.
There we That's go.
Okay. There just we pumped go. Up. Hey, all fucking right. Just finish off where we left off.
Well, where should we even, like, I feel like we should even go back over, like, what we just discussed for a little
I'm
bit there.
On par with that right now.
Okay, all yeah, right. True.
Josh, you want to hit it first, and then I'll jump in on anything. I'll fill in any gaps.
Yeah. I just want to kind of, like, I feel like we should give, like, a summary of, like, what we're on right now. Like, the...
Yeah, this is the first time also all three together, like... I've been drip feeding my shit on Instagram with this fucking group. We need to introduce ourselves. What the fuck is Oath about?
Man, Oath. Oath is, that's, bro, I think Oath is such a good name for it because it's like we are holding each other accountable. Like, we're making a promise to each other of what we're going to be doing and holding each other to that. Like, we're taking the oath that we're going to be doing this and that we're not going to stray from this, from the downhill life, man.
I love it.
It's all downhill from here.
It really is all downhill from here. Yeah, so
and
I mean,
best
like,
way, and I'm excited. Like,
yeah,
I'm beyond excited.
Yeah, man. So, like, I guess we, yeah, like, for somebody listening to this, I guess the key thing to understand is that we're three different guys from three different lives, completely different. And if you follow anything we do, yeah, you can see the complete differences. And the beauty
stark
is
contrast.
That, yeah, just unbelievable difference. And the beauty is that we all live by the same principles and we all like totally understand each other. And we now have created this group, we call it the Oath, which basically is where we hold each other accountable to the real goals we have in life. So for me, it's making the NHL. For Tom, it's making the NHL. And also becoming like I see as the Tony Robbins of just everything. I think you're gonna be the next Tony.
And better than fucking Tony.
Yeah,
not as sexy of a voice. That's all.
That's what I see happening. And then yeah, for Josh, I see him becoming the next, honestly, like the next Russ kind of thing, but like doing it your own way.
The next big fucking thing in the rap game.
Like, I'm gonna change how music is. Like that's my goal, man.
Yeah,
I already noticed a difference in your shit compared to everyone else's, man. Like, I noticed a clear-cut style that's fucking rookie, and it's it's so fucking sick.
And it's only gonna get better. Like, I know the shit I put out right now is not the best shit I'm ever gonna put out. You know, it's like right now it's really good, but I can feel that. You know, I can feel that potential in me of what I like. I know use this work ethic that we're enabling in ourselves and I use my mind and I use the universe and take the waves and ride the waves, like I know how great this is gonna be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
it's beyond what if, but it's like I'm excited for how it's gonna happen and the work I'm excited for the work it's gonna take. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. that's the thing. I think that's a really good transition piece is that what we were just talking about in our own little like FaceTime call we were doing was that we're realizing that the process is really the only thing that actually matters because everything is just a constant push forward. No matter where you think you're going to end up, everything is always based on a constant evolution. So We're changing our mindsets to stop thinking about trying to think, oh, well, I hope I get there. Instead, feeling like we're there, being the person that deserves to be there, and then living in our moment, feeling exactly how we want to feel without, like, worrying about anything else.
Man, I could not have worded that any better myself.
That's because we all get each other.
Yeah, no, seriously, and people hearing this are going to understand, like, what you're saying. Because it just makes sense. And, like, we're going downhill. Everything we're doing is forward. No matter how, like, what it is that we're doing to push us forward, we're always evolving. And always.
Exactly.
And we all, what do you say about the plane?
It's an anti-fragile system. It's like a plane, like an airline, basically, right? Like, an airline, every time a crash happens, even though it's a terrible tragedy, it's actually a way for the system to improve. So every failure tightens up the system so that eventually there'll never ever be a crash again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just statistics. Exactly.
You gotta fail forward.
Yeah, fall forward. You gotta fucking fall on your face.
And that's actually something so big that people don't realize. And like that goes so parallel for hockey and music is that you have to be willing to put out that song that like maybe not everyone's gonna like because you need to see what the market says, right?
Right.
That's it.
That is so true. I can put out something that I see as like the biggest banger of the year, and if it falls flat on its face, I'm not gonna go fuck me, my career's over. I'm gonna go, all right, let's learn from this. See like if any pot, like if they liked anything about it, like pull from that. But more importantly, like see what they didn't like about it, and draw how I can improve those parts.
Exactly. Like you should almost just be excited by failure criticism. In some ways. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you can't grow if you don't fail. And I always want to, like, I don't want to get to a point. My fear, bro, honest to God, my fear is I get to a point where, like, not that I get to a point, is getting to a point where, like, I don't have any more music coming out, where I'm stale. I feel like there's nothing more for me to do. I as irrational as that is, because I know that, like, the more I grow, the more I'll realize I'll be able to do, and the more I will do, which will domino effect.
The future you won't even fucking ever worry about that.
Exactly, and I know that, But right now, like, that's just a daunting fear to be, like to a not growing is scary, because then you're wasting time.
Exactly.
Nothing.
And that's the biggest sin of all, man. Mm-hmm. The biggest fucking sin. Wasting this shit. Yeah. Really, like, honestly, I feel like no one really fucking appreciates life on the level that we fucking do, man. Like, holy fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, you are gone once you are dead. You have no fucking respawns. No fucking respawns. That's the fucking thing.
Oh my god.
Why not make the most of this shit?
There's definitely a limited amount of people that grab life by the balls, you know?
Exactly. Well, and this is why I want to turn this into some kind of podcast, because what I want this to be, and what I'm really seeing now, is that we create the downhill movement, or the limitless movement. We need to kind of us three need to work together to really refine this down. But I want it to be that people listen to this podcast to be a part of
living downhill.
This mindset.
It's a lifestyle.
It really is a lifestyle.
Like, yo, pulling from breaking the habit of being yourself, like, I think in the, like, I'm not even a quarter of the way through, but one of the most, like, enlightening things, I guess, was...
Yep.
Oh, now I'm blanking. Nah. Fuck me, man. I literally was like, man, this is such a good thought. And I'm like, I'm going to say it right now. And then it came, I was like, it's gone.
Oh, I did that earlier. No, but like, I'll start talking about that book, and then you can see if you remember.
I got it.
You got it?
And it talks about it early in the book, which is good, because it really sets the tone. But because it calls you out when it says, just the idea that if every thought you had the power to manifest into your reality – If you knew for a fact that was true, like in an alternate universe, if you knew for a fact, like if there was 100% fact, you would never, ever have a bad thought. You would not.
Right.
Any fact that, like, we're living, that is true. I can't have these bad thoughts. Like, circumstances mess with your mind to be down and shit. Doesn't mean it's stop progressing. Like, you got to be able to manifest. Like, you got to be able to be thinking the right way all the time. It's not a part-time job. It's not, oh, I feel good today, I'll start manifesting. You know, it's like, it's not like that. It's not like a vending machine. Like, oh, today I'll have this in my future and I'll have two of these. No, it's every day you got to be thinking about what you want, how you want to get there. You gotta surround it. You have to be drowning.
You gotta surrender. You gotta surrender to it.
Right? Like, I want.
That's what you gotta do.
Like, my apartment right now, I like it, but when I want it to be where I come in my apartment, I come in wherever I am, and I am just surrounded by music all the time. because that
I love that.
I'm in an apartment that in less than a year is going to have a music studio in it. While I have a home studio upstairs, it's going to be fucking days off will be 24 hours of music, man. And I've messaged my sound engineer and I'm like, yo, I will fly you up here so that we can work for a week straight. Life to just be like, when I'm telling people, I'm like, you don't get it. It's like I was grinding. If I wasn't making money, I was making music.
And see, this is that you said something that really sparked this thought. And this is something that people just, until you understand this, it will never click for you. But the idea, here you go. This is for anybody listening, like this will change your entire life when you realize this. Everyone is attached to an identity of who they think they are. They think it's like they have a piece of paper and they write down everything they are. And then they write it down. And let's say it's one of the things is I don't like to work hard. Now, every single time something comes up where they need to work hard, they look back at their paper and say, oh, doesn't fit.
I'm not doesn't the type fit. Of person not me. That works hard. No,
right. Exactly. But this is what changes everything. That paper, it's literally a whiteboard. And you never, ever need to leave it anything on it for any time. Mm-hmm. You can literally write whatever you want on that whiteboard. It's a huge whiteboard. It's like as big as you want it to be. And you can do whatever you mm-hmm. want. You can be like really confident. You can be able to handle selling out an arena and entertaining mm-hmm. 40,000 people. You can do that because you can write your own identity. You have control of who you want to be.
And I think that period. I think a lot of the people that don't buy into that are the people that are too attached to this identity of themselves. You know, like if someone's listening to this and they're super shy and they hear you saying you can be confident, you can be like, you can be this very powerful person, they're going to go, mm-hmm. no, I can't. I'm shy. You know, it's like,
that's the thing. It's a lie that they believe.
Right.
That's
they're going,
thing. You're just, you're reading your old paper.
They're yeah. saying, I know myself better than you do. Like, you can't tell me what I can and cannot do. I know I'm a shy person and you can't tell me other. And it's like, you're digging yourself that hole. Like yep. if we're sitting here telling you like the person I have become and I am becoming and the person I want to be is not something younger me ever would have imagined.
Yeah.
You know, same, like man. I was not this type of guy who was very clear-headed and who was very like logical and who was very like set on things. Like it's funny because people will see that in me because that's who I am now. That's who I want to be. But I was like,
that's who you've become by controlling it.
Sporadic, angry, indecisive, uncertain, like fucked up in the head, little kid, you know, like, I'll put it straight. Like I had a privileged childhood, like in terms of coming up, like I was very blessed, which I've like, until I had a meeting with James, the guy that I was emailing about, where he told me, he was like, use that as an advantage. Like I always saw it as like, it doesn't go with my story, you know, like nobody's going to look, oh, you're privileged. You're a rich white boy. Of course you made it.
Truth.
But it's like, no, like, I went to a school, like both Tom and I went to a school that was like, this is how we're preparing you to go to uni and get a job. And I had to tell everyone there being like, I'm not doing this. And people look at you crazy when you're in that environment, telling them you're not going to school.
Yeah.
You
don't
ever want to go to school. What?
Yeah.
Are you crazy? Josh, you need a backup plan. I say, no, I don't. Because if I give myself the option of a backup plan,
that's already saying you don't believe in yourself. That's a fucking it's a subconscious message you're giving yourself.
Exactly, because and just knowing like myself when I've been put in situations where I've had to test my brain, like in the past, if I had a backup plan and I was handling a lot of pressure, I think the type of person I was and that I don't want to fall back to would go on a safety net. Yep. You know, and if I don't have that safety net, that is forcing me to no other option, and I'm fine with that. Like, I'm okay with that. Because,
a little bit of pressure.
Right? Yeah. It's a lot of pressure, but I need it.
But it's in the right dosage. It's not like where people think of pressure as, like, a Like it's fucking like it's crushing you, it's choking you, it's fucking making like allowing you not even to fucking breathe. Mm-mm. That's the type of pressure we don't want to have. What we want to do have a little bit of pressure to make a fucking diamond.
How about
no pressure, no fucking diamonds, man?
Just apply this to our downhill like metaphor. If you add a little pressure to someone going downhill, they're just gonna go faster.
Oh, they just go right? That's true. Right? Fuck yeah. Yes, like I love it.
If you give them a little push and leave a little leverage on them, they're just gonna speed up the process.
Yeah, little fucking jump start, little fucking that. Turbo boost.
I love
fuck
that.
Fuck yes.
There, yes! Like, it works, man.
Fuck. That might be like the smartest analogy addition to the downhill since the downhill.
Yeah. But it's true. Yeah, fuck. It crosses both physically and like literally if you push someone downhill you go faster, but like metaphorically speaking, like if you're trying to live life downhill, you need a little pressure. Otherwise you're just gonna start slacking.
Yeah, pressure actually makes life go better. I love that.
In the right dosage.
Yeah, because
yeah, really hard push is gonna push you on your face.
Yeah.
Literally
yeah.
Going downhill, you're gonna crash and burn.
But that's the thing, that's also a beautiful thing about this. Like once you fucking start, like you're on a one-way ticket to wherever the fuck you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't go back uphill once you start going fucking downhill. You can't just be like, no, roll the brakes, fucking get back up the hill again.
If anyone listens to this, like I think for me, especially, I think you guys will get this too. One of the most important parts of living downhill is that it doesn't, like, my life isn't always fucking candy cakes and roses. You know, it's not fucking. But it's the fact that when shit's not going good, you still have to be able to have a clear enough mind to be progressing towards your future and towards what you want. Those emotional times for me, as much as it hurts to like think about them and put myself in like a dark spot to get the lyrics out that I need to get out, that I can't just get out if I'm sitting there happy as hell. You know, like if I'm in a bad spot, I use that to make more emotional lyrics. I don't let my mind get warped. Like, and I'm not saying it never happens. I've had times where like I've been so contorted in my mind, like, and just like worked up that I've just been paralyzed and I haven't been doing anything. And those are things I need to work on that I need to get out of my life. But it's like, what we need to do is that no matter what state you're in, you need to be working on evolving. That's what I'm trying to, like, the summary of what I'm saying is no matter if life is good or bad, you can always stride forward.
Yep.
Right?
just like downhill.
Right? If it's raining, you can still go downhill. If it's hailing, if it's hot, you can still go downhill.
It's better. It's better. It's just going to make it icy. You're just going to slide even quicker.
And you're just, right? And you're not going to – I think a lot of things that happen to people, because it happened a lot to me, it still does, is that when I get too frustrated or too worked out emotionally, like mentally wise, but like if I'm just drained and I waste like a night or like a couple days, man, then I'm filled with this regret of what I could have done during that time, which then keeps it going. Which is so, like, you're sitting there, man, like I hate myself for wasting all this time. I'm such a bad person. Which then puts those thoughts in your head where you're like, well, I guess this is who I am. And you need to just snap right. that. Like, when you're not doing something, and if you recognize you're not doing it and can do it right at that moment, get up and do it. Because it will change how you're thinking in that moment. And you'll start to get so much more shit done.
And it will reinforce the whole idea of living downhill.
Yeah,
like, and that whole fucking focus.
Like, if you can tell yourself, start with one thing. You're like really sad or whatever, and you're like, oh, I need to do one thing. Do it. Maybe not do it. And then you're like, okay, well, now I know I'm the type of person that can do that. That can work while in this state, you know?
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple things. Like, I got a couple things that I've written down over the course of you guys talking. And like, one of the big things that is so important that people really need to realize is that you need to let yourself – you need to forgive yourself when things go wrong in the past, because the past is not who you
that
are.
Is so true,
the past
man.
Yep.
does, Preach, it bro. Does Preach. Not exist. And everybody feels like it's their identity,
that is,
but it's not your identity.
Literally the past doesn't exist. Right? You know, like
doesn't define right? you. It doesn't mean anything.
You're not making that choice every day. It's not something
You're breaking every You can literally be someone different the next fucking like the next second if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Right.
Literally.
Well, here's a beautiful statement. A lot when you hear the controversy, and this is a common like controversial topic. Can people change? Do people change? Let me clear this up for anybody listening to this right now. Yes, people can change, and like any other opinion, and I don't say this about everything, every other opinion is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
People can change. Yep. People like you literally it, saying someone can't change is acting as if the past is like a is in stone, like made out of like an unbreakable
stone. It's a fucking prison. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not. Like, even a stone can break and be broken down over time by fucking the elements.
Yeah.
And
like people
and that doesn't mean
people need to realize that.
Change, you know? It just means people can't. Exactly. Like, that doesn't mean if someone comes back to you that's always been a problem and that has never changed and they tell you they've changed. Like, you can if you can see that they're just bullshitting, like, don't be naive. Be like, oh, maybe they've changed this time. But it doesn't mean people can't change.
Yeah.
That is such a good point to add. Yes, like 100,000%. Like people can change or people can be the same person. Exactly. It's just up to them. There's no limitation. That's what people think there's a limit and there's something holding you back.
Yeah.
There's nothing. It's just your mind.
Literally.
About you saying that, like I think one of the biggest things about people that not changing is that they themselves, like when you're surrounded by people telling you that you can't change, then you don't think you can change. So you're going, I'm a bad person.
Exactly.
And then you're like, I can't change. Like people can't change because everyone's saying that. But you can't, like, you can break up with yourself, you know? Like that book, like you can break your
old straight up. Off,
you know? And I know that
because it's not you.
I know that better than anyone is because I grew up in Texas. You know, I grew up very patriotic. You know, in Texas, like, and I was a shy kid. I was an emotional kid. I was kind of a loser. No lie, I was kind of a loser. But I moved a lot. Like, I moved to New York, and then I moved to Lakefield, and now I moved to Toronto. And I remember each one of those times recognizing. Like, I think one of the biggest things for me then was, like, nobody here knows who I am. Nobody here knows what I'm like, you know? And so those moves, I think, were actually so crucial for me looking back. Like, I don't think I recognized it at the time, but looking back, I took a look at the place I was leaving and basically the person I was leaving because I was like, there's a lot of stuff I didn't like about myself back there. And I would try, and I would take it, you know, I'd be like, well, I'm not going to do that anymore because nobody up here knows that I do that. And then when I went to Lakefield, I was like, all right, like, there are some things I wish I could have changed with those people I met in New York, but now there's a whole group of new people, right? And it's allowed me to really make myself what I want to be.
Yep. That's funny. It's funny you say that because, like, fucking me and you have that in common. And, like, we've traveled a fuckload over the past 4 years.
A lot easier ability to recognize the change you can have on yourself.
Yeah, but also, like, you see the immediate effect that you have on others. Like, fuck, like, I'm a lot like you, man. Like, growing up in Australia, I was introverted. I was a fucking nerd, in fact.
Yeah, man, I was a loner.
Yeah, like, I wasn't completely alone, but, like, I had this group of friends that I wasn't really a cool kid. I was having a bit of a drifter and all this kind of shit. And then once I went to Canada, I went to Lakefield, holy fuck, the amount of friends I made in that 1 year. And then all of a sudden, I went back down to fucking rock bottom at the Hill Academy where, again, I was thrown into a fucking environment I was completely foreign to. I was training with freaking first round OHL draft picks, and there I am. As a fucking Australian hockey player, like the shittest of the fucking lot. And then I felt alone as fuck and I was scared, man. And I regret that I fucking was scared of competition. I was scared of putting myself out there. I was scared of fucking failing.
Because if, like, you were in this mindset while you were there, you would have been so excited to be surrounded by that much talent.
Fuck yeah.
You know, like, you would have been like, screw if they think I'm good or not. Like, I know I can be better than, and I'm just going to learn from what they do, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But it's this thing, like, even though I had a shitty experience, I'm still grateful that I could fucking see that back now and be like, shit, man, like, you had one X, you've got one cross, but don't let that fucking define you. Fucking let's change things up. Fix what needs to be fucking fixed. And as simple as, you know, looking at A, changing it to B. Simple as that. And just fucking living and taking action, not just dwelling and like, fuck, like, I'm not jerking off and playing Fortnite all the fucking time. I'm trying to work on myself here. Mm-hmm. That's the fucking difference between me and everyone else. That's why everyone else is still fucking behind. Dude, it was insane. I fucking had a call with, like, freaking kids from primary school. Kids from, like, grade, like, 1 to 6. And, like, this today, in the past couple of days. And then, like, they said to me, like, dude, like, Thomas is the one that's changed the most. Mm. And they're, like, they're saying, like, Thomas is probably the guy that's going to, like, be the most successful out of all of us.
Mm.
And then they start talking about bullshit. And, like, dude, I was like, fuck. Like, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy because, again, like, I recognize why I'm different. I talked about today in my fucking latest podcast. I recognize that I'm different. And that fucking difference is what's now allowing me to fucking push out and fucking attack and meet people like you now. Fuck.
Man, the future is exciting, man.
It's actually funny that when you start to change and you know it, like looking back, you'll notice points in your life where like you really did become a whole new person. People change their projection of you when they see what you've become. Mm-hmm. For example, for me, I literally have friends, like really, really close friends, who now will constantly say, and like they said this before, but now it comes up so often now because I've written my script, is that they'll actually say, you're going to be the millionaire and you're going to be the one that makes the NHL. You're going to be the one that does all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And they say it with like such genuine love because
and that's beautiful, man.
They see the person mm-hmm. I am.
Yeah.
It's just crazy how when you start to change, your whole environment changes. So like it's so reactionary.
It's a domino effect.
It's so like crazy how much you can observe. Like when you start to change, how quick the environment around you starts to change is like surreal.
Have you ever seen the a giant set of dominoes get pushed over where like they make those cool art pieces?
Yeah.
Like that's really what the universe is like. Like you push one domino and all of a sudden like it's like a gymnasium of dominoes just clear out in front of you.
Well, have you seen the thing where it's like if you is it twice the size? It was like if you double the size of a domino and then knock them and then I think it's if you get to like 13 or something, you're at the size of a skyscraper or some shit. Like it's like it's
exponential growth.
And
there's
a video of a guy where he pushes over the normal domino, and like 9 later it's like the one like bigger than my wall, and the pushing one over knocked it over. And I was like, that's what happens. Like little things can have a lot bigger consequences. Not in the bad, like I think bigger consequences.
It's like a snowball rolling down the fucking hill.
Consequences is still a fine word to use.
I
like
think
it's
some
just
people have a bad connotation of it, but it's just the the results of like things you've done. So like the consequences of the effort you're putting in can have such huge difference makers in your life, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's also like playing in the long run, like playing the long term game. Mm-hmm. And that's what people need to start fucking playing, man. Like I see way too many fucking people chasing short term highs, and you know, chasing the materialistic thing, chasing that's, you know, just the sex, the drugs, the fucking party on the weekend. And then like, sure, like that is that they're picking, you got to pick and choose your times for that. Like we said before, you know, there's a time and place to smell the roses, but now is not the fucking time all the time.
Yeah.
Like I've partied a bit. Sure. I'm all for having a bit of fun and letting go every once in a while.
19. We got to be our age.
Yeah, you got to be a fucking teen. You got to be a kid.
Like,
I want to go deeper on this as well. Yeah. Let's go deeper. Let's continue this. Keep going.
Like fucking, this is where I love the idea on. I can't stress enough the idea of balance. And I had this conversation between, you know, I've even had with you guys where the Buddhists believe you need to have one foot in order and one foot in chaos. And thing is, those two ideas are literally a universal constant. You can apply that in literally any fucking topic you want, in broader aspects like the universe itself. Or even something as simple as life as a teenager, you want to have 1 foot in each, not 2 foot in each. If you have 1 foot, if you have 2 feet in order, if you're too much in order, You become like a fucking
a sheeple.
Yeah, you become a fucking robot.
A follower, man.
Yeah, follower, a sheep, and you like you see these people all the fucking time. You know, people who like are so immaculate and perfectionism is like their they ultimate have goal.
And everything follows the system. You can't.
Yeah. And they can't enjoy. They can't enjoy being in the moment. They can't enjoy those little moments where you're laughing your ass off with your friends, where your shirt gets a little dirty, where you're fucking pissed drunk with your friend at 2 a.m. in the morning. And on the other side of the spectrum of that, you have the people whose life is just fucking that: the festivals, the parties, the drinking, the sex, the drugs, and just no order. That's the thing. That's when they have too much fucking chaos. That's when they also get, you know, it's not just like chaos isn't just the nightmare, just the bad experiences. It's also the lack of structure, the lack of organization. It's the lack of trying to put some effort and control in your own life. Like, I'm a big fan of balance, man. Have fun, but, you know, fucking take your life seriously at the same time. You can't you can't do one or the other. You got to be balanced.
I think that's – especially I think right now that's something that I see myself. Like, I think right now I'm very – I'm doing a really nice job and, like, I'm very well-balanced in terms of, like – having fun and as James, like this guy, he gave me a lot of really clear-headed advice. He said, be dumb, but don't be stupid. Like, be your age and do dumb shit, but don't be stupid. Yeah. Like, don't fuck your life up. Like, be dumb, experience the things you're supposed to experience. And that because one thing I've heard, I think it's a Rush song, where he says, like, the older you get, the more expensive lessons are.
Like, love that line.
It's one of my favorites because it's like we need this time to make a lot more mistakes than in the future. Not that we need to stop making mistakes, but some of the mistakes
take more risks. Take some fucking risks,
right? Right.
A 19-year-old taking a big risk is a lot different than like a 30-year-old or even like 35, 40, anywhere older.
Exactly, because this is a fucking time, like, dude. These 5-10 years that we have where we don't have kids, where we don't have a fucking wife, where we don't have a mortgage, where we don't have to, you know, worry about
no change. All this There's shit. No exactly. change, man.
Like, people don't realize that you have so much fucking freedom right now to do whatever the fuck you want. And, see, and people think they need to wait till they're 30 to get that freedom. No, well, that freedom is fucking now to cash in. It's you're sitting on a winning fucking lottery ticket. That's what half of these people are on.
And here's
keep going.
I was just going to say, like, that was a beautiful statement you made about the 1 foot in and 1 foot out concept. But one little thing that I think to keep in mind for some people, and this goes really, really in parallel with all three of us, is that I think that you also have to realize that sometimes you're in a window of opportunity, as we've trademarked, that basically you need to understand that sometimes in your life, you might need to put 2 feet into controlled only because you need to go all in at that one thing in order to set yourself up to be able to have one foot in each later on.
Something to go along with that I think plays a lot more into the area of things I want to do, like the music, is I think for me sometimes – I need that, like, regardless of what it is, I think I need to have 2 feet in chaos sometimes because I need to understand these emotions and, like, how serious it is. Like, especially, like, I'll get into this a lot later, like, when we're more, on a deeper podcast. But, like, recently, like, I think you saying what you've said in this podcast today about, like, things you've done in the past don't make you who you are and that you can change and that doesn't define the type of person you are. It hits home a lot harder with me than I think a lot of people expect right now. Cause like I've made some mistakes recently in my personal life that have really weighed on me. And like, you know, it's hard to have a clear conscience when you don't know how you feel about what you've done. And you thought you felt a certain way, but like you're kind of seeing it a different way. And I'm not trying to get into that right now, but this hit, like, I think that, like, we're not talking about this on some, like, oh, like, we know all the answers. It's like, I'm trying to show people that right now, like, I am using the advice you're giving me because it's not like I'm perfect right now. It's like, this isn't shit that doesn't apply to me. this applies to me right now. The same people that listen to this and are like, man, I got shit going in my life. And like, they're saying it helps. So they're probably so set. Like, I'm not set right now. Like
we're still figuring it out. We're still fucking going. It's right? a journey. It's a constant journey
in my head. And it's like going on in my life that does like that throws me off sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm working on that and I'm documenting that. But going back to what I was saying, sometimes I recognize, maybe I do it subconsciously, like I dive into the feelings.
Yeah, whether I dive into the emotions. Yeah.
Whether or not in the current moment it's good or bad for me, because like I think a huge part of music, especially mine, is the emotion I draw from it. And I can't relate to people by talking about shit I haven't been through.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And I think if I always have this order and I'm like, I always know what's going on. I know the situation will resolve it. Like, that's not always the case. And I put myself in those situations and they've swallowed me whole. But yeah. I'm using you guys and this music to get through it and to show other people how to get through it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, dude. Fucking today, I love how you said that, because this morning,
that's awesome.
I came back from the gym, and the thought of the text I got this morning was going through my head. I was like, dude, was I being raw enough? And I was like thinking about, because I sent that text back. I was like, yo, dude, this is the shit I've been through. I've been through fucking hell and back for the past 3 years. I've been on a fucking roller coaster, up and down. I rode the fucking waves. And then all of a sudden I was thinking back in these fucking experiences and like the amazing impact not only I've had on myself, the amazing impact I've had on other people by sharing this fucking journey. Even like just the beginning now, people are hitting me up and like being like, yo man, like fuck, like you're real shit, man. And then like, you know, like it's a fucking amazing feeling. And literally today I sat outside the fucking train station fucking crying for an hour listening. I'm not even kidding. I was listening usually on repeat because fuck that yeah, fucking bro. Shit. That shit just hits home. I'm not doing this to promote you or anything. Like, I'm serious. I'm fucking serious. Like the line that gets me is different seeds causing many different views.
Yeah, bro.
That fucking hit me so hard because like that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to feel what other people are feeling, and I want to fucking get a real comprehensive understanding, not only myself but other people. That's what allowed me to be more empathetic. That's what allows me to fucking be that guy. That you know, goes all in on a fucking friendship, you know, fuck, like, dude, I signed jerseys to people, my close friends, and I put all my fucking emotion on that jersey. Mm-hmm. And some people like they are so grateful for it because, you know, it's an amazing thing, but they don't realize how fucking deep I had to drown myself in an emotion where I'm literally crying as I fucking write a note or that fucking jersey or that sign that puck when I have a little fucking message on it. Like, I drown myself in that fucking emotion at that time. And that's chaos as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, that's it. Like, maybe we're realizing that sometimes, like, it really is right to make the right call. Like, a balance of having 2 feet on one side, 2 feet on the other, and then 1 foot on each. You just going with your gut, right? Picking which one.
Yeah.
Because right? I've had times where it's like, I could numb this pain, you know? And I've done that my fair share of times where it's like I've coped with it, not in the best ways, obviously, not in the worst ways either. But it's like,
yeah.
But it's like sometimes I'm just like, I want to feel this emotion. Like, as
well, you want to feel human.
And I reckon, like, it sounds stupid, but it's like, even when I know it's not a good idea, like, when I'm like, I think it almost would be healthier to like do this a different way, which it sounds counterintuitive to not do it that way, but I'm like, I can't be telling people how to get through this shit if I don't know how to get through this shit.
Exactly.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is like, I heard this beautiful saying that you need to embrace your darkness.
Yeah.
Because if you don't admit that it's there and you pretend it's not there, it will just continue to grow and it will consume that light. Now, if instead you bring that light to the darkness and you let it shine on everything, you'll be able to imagine like it exposes your demons.
Do you know how and then do you know how uncomfortable you're gonna be? Like, it's supposed to be
so uncomfortable.
You're gonna have lights on the darkest parts of you that you've never wanted to look at again.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Like, I went through a time where I really genuinely felt like there was no way I could possibly play professional hockey. There's like, I literally went through a point where like, I felt like I wasn't at that level. I wasn't going to be able to ever get to that level. And like, I was so stuck, and this was just like a couple of years ago kind of thing. And when you face that, what you do is you truly figure out, okay, well then what do I need to do? And then that was right around the time that I happened to stumble upon Train 2.0.
Yeah.
And funny how the universe provides. Window of opportunity. Thinking back to it now. Exactly. Yeah. And then you realize, okay,
yeah, like,
here's my system. And then boom,
yeah,
snaps into place. And then you put in that time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Because every now and again, you're going to be like, whatever happens to you, like you got that feeling. And all of a sudden you were out of balance. You weren't really making a right, like a conscious decision that would be, you know, rational if you were back in balance. You were back in that proper mindset. Like me, literally exact same thing happened fucking like a couple months ago, like after the whole fucking Hockey Canada issue and then all this thing with going to Holland. I was kind of lost, man. And I texted Jason and I FaceTimed this one girl that, yeah, she's fucking amazing. Shout out to Shayla. And then I just need that little push, that little fucking push. And then bam, now fucking create 365. I'm documenting shit every fucking day now. And like, it's amazing. It's amazing. Exactly. Like fucking like, thank you to Jason and Shayla. Like, holy fuck. You guys are fucking amazing.
It's yeah, man. It's so, and it, that's the thing, right? Is when you finally like you embrace in, and maybe this is the best way to put it all together with the downhill, is that instead of trying to fight that push and like being like, no, you like trying to cut back against it and like cut back up the hill. Don't fight it. Let just relax and then admit and embrace that pressure. Mm-hmm. Because when you embrace the pressure and you let the reality sink in, that's when you can get into the zone, embrace the moment, mm-hmm. and actually get into a flow, so that's what life is when you can actually be confident in the whole strategy, that you can just fully absorb yourself in each day and each moment, and like that is where you don't just feel like a little bit happier, you feel 10 times happier.
Bro,
every day.
You want to ride this metaphor right now? I have such a good downhill has to be one of the best metaphors for this type of lifestyle, man. Because
think about this.
You're going downhill. There's a dark fucking tunnel in front of you. There's a pitch black tunnel right in front of you.
Yep.
It is so much more counterintuitive to try and stop and go back uphill to avoid that tunnel than going head on through it, through all the
darkness. Yeah, just fucking go 100%. Because, yeah.
And then just, there's not a wall at the end of a tunnel. There's a light that when you get out is brighter. Everything's like, you know, when you come out of a dark tunnel and it's just 10 times as bright, it's just
everything
is just a lot more, you know, like there.
Yeah.
And so
perspective, man,
head on.
Night's darkest before it's dawn.
You're not going to run into a wall at the end. You're not going to hit a wall and fucking smash your face and fucking skid. And, you know, you're going to come through the other side and be like, all right, like I did that. And now, that's gone. You know, like it's not there.
Yeah.
The tunnel's not ahead of me anymore. It's behind me.
Yeah, it's
and
behind you.
And as you're saying, you don't dwell on the past. The tunnel's behind you. All that shit's behind you. You faced it. It's not going to go away.
It's up the hill. It's way up there. Way it doesn't matter there, anymore.
You passed it. Exactly. Like, I like that analogy. Like, this is the way I put it for myself in the past couple months. I was like, you know, you don't need to underestimate yourself so much. Like, it's a lot less scarier than you think. Like, sure, it's still scary, but it's a lot less scary. Like, it's like, you know, going up that, you know, I forget, we've all had this probably as a kid. You know, when you're walking up a staircase and you're running because, you know, you think there's going to be a fucking boogeyman.
Bro.
Like, yeah, the boogeyman's going to be chasing you. But all you need to do is turn on the fucking light.
Right.
And then you realize, hey, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Yo, you want to hear some crazy shit? Just cause this is like one of my favorite stories from traveling.
Of course.
So, I miss this shit. But we were out in this little town in Australia called Noosa. Tom, you might
know it. I know Noosa. Yeah.
Noosa is my favorite town in the world. Like, that's where I want to live, man. Noosa is so sick. And this was one of the only places we were supposed to be in by a certain time because we had surf rescue lessons, whatever. But like me and these two guys, shout out Jack and Gus. We were like boys on that trip, like we hung out the most. And this one night, like, Jack, me, and Brady were out smoking after curfew or whatever, and Brady went back in, and Jack and I were like, we're fucking in Australia next to a beach. We didn't know where the beach was. We just knew we were by one. And we were like, I want to go explore. Yeah. There's this story plays back in. Just trust. And and we were walking. It's like midnight. And we're walking along like the foliage by the road. Like, Tom, you know that like bushy shit, like, but they have like paths through. It's like,
Yeah. I know what you mean.
And so we're walking by that. And literally, we just look across the street. Like, neither of us should have seen this. But there was just something that looked like an entrance. And we go in, and there's stairs. Like, it's ominous as hell. And it's just shadows everywhere from the moon. And we keep walking, and we come out on this roundabout. Keep walking, find another one, and end up on this beach. This beach that is, like, 100 yards long, 100 meters long, flat. Like, it's so flat that if you look 50 yards out from where the water comes in, it's like open ocean rough. But by the time it reaches your feet, it's glossy like a fucking ice rink. Like, that's how flat it is. It just comes in and then just set. You know what I mean? Like, it just gets that glossy shit.
Yeah.
I'm picturing
and,
it right now.
And
yeah.
There's like 30 mile an hour winds always, like, just going straight sideways. And this first night, bro, there was a heat lightning storm across the entire coast for like an hour and a half. That we watch, like, we could watch the lightning split down on the coast, okay?
Yo,
but we're looking at this. You know how scary the ocean is in the day. Like, a rough open ocean is kind of terrifying.
At night, it's fucked.
We were there at midnight where we couldn't see where the horizon was. Like, if there wasn't lightning, we wouldn't have been able to distinguish the dark gray clouds from the ocean. And then it comes at you, and it's this pitch black water just rushing towards you, right? And we talked this first night, it was just Jack and I, and we're like, man, I think some of the scariest shit is like black ocean water at night. Like, I would be so terrified to go in there. The next night, bro, we bring Gus, and the water's coming up to us, and he's like, let's go in. Like, let's go in the water. And I was like, it was the whole breaking up with my identity, man. Because I was like, I would be terrified of this. Like, this is making me so fucking anxious. But I was like, this is going to feel so liberating to just say fuck it and do it and know that I can. Yeah. And so we just walk. Well, we take our shoes off. We take our socks off. Fucking just walk into this shit. And it was one of the craziest feelings because it felt like the ocean was alive, bro. And it felt so like... It felt like there's nothing in there to be scared of. You know, like I was in ocean water that I couldn't even, like, my feet, because it was so fucking, it was midnight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing, and like 20 meters in front of me is like crazy 6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot swells. And I'm sitting there like, this is, it's mesmerizing, because I'm sitting there facing my fears head on, standing in rough ocean water in the middle of the night with not a single person except us three on the beach for miles, just alone, and dark gray stormy clouds. And I'm just talking about this has made me be like, that's what it feels like. It's not scary. Like, you face it head on, and there's nothing to be afraid of. So that was a long drawn out thing, but it's just like, I had to give backstory because of how cool this fucking beach was, man.
Yeah,
and just
that was a good story,
right? And that feeling is freeing, bro. To just step in, you know, that type of water.
Step in the unknown.
Step in the unknown. Be like, there could be a kraken in here, man. Like,
yeah. No, the thing is, I love that you said that because, like, I don't know. I feel like this kind of weird connection there. Like, that feeling is so tied in with fucking Mother Nature everywhere. Like, I was in, you know, I lived in Victoria, BC. And every once in a while, like, I always used to, I can't believe I didn't do this sooner, but I'm so happy I did it. I always saw this pathway whenever I went to school. I was driving on the bus or I was driving. And I was like, fuck, like, what's down there? And then I fucking went. And at the first, it was kind of this, like, dense foliage. It was kind of like a tunnel. And all of a sudden, I saw this fucking house, man. Like, just me out of fucking nowhere. thick like ranch, and there was fucking horses on there. I was like, dude, like, these sort of shit that says fucking hidden in fucking nature. And then I also went like on another fucking area on the other side of it, and that's where I did one of my podcasts. I just sat down, and all of a sudden, like, I felt like...
That's with the birds like, and shit.
Yeah, the birds and shit. I was like, dude, like, this is... I just need to sit down here and just let this all sink in. And then fucking it just poured in with emotion of fucking, like, my... Like, you know, like, I was talking about my dad and, like, his troubled childhood and, you know, the all those sort of things. And, like, it just flooded me in. And I felt in touch, and I felt... so uplifted after. I was like, fuck, like that, it's such an awesome feeling once you get that uplifted feeling, once you just, you drown yourself in emotion and then you rise back up to take that air, take that fucking breath, and it's so relaxing.
My biggest fear in terms of emotion and like what I do for my music is like, I don't want to lose control, because I do let myself lose control a little, which I don't always want to do, obviously. But just, like, I don't always want to be losing control to my emotions and have them take, like. But sometimes I allow it to happen because
downhill is about that,
right?
Because that's the thing. But you allow it to happen. That's why you still keep control, because you allow it to happen.
I think my biggest fear is that overtaking me. You know, like putting myself. Let's say I'm really trying to get in the spot for a song. You know, and I don't want to get into a place that I can't get out of, you know? And that's why we got Oath, because it holds us accountable. Because if I'm ever slipping, like, somebody's
got you. Yeah. Yeah. Because you don't want to be like fucking Heath Ledger when he did the Joker.
No.
At the Dark Knight. Like,
iconic. Like, not that he died, but you can cut this out of the fucking podcast if you want, but I tripped shrooms and watched a movie with Heath Ledger in it. And it was in that moment, like, I'd always liked him, but while watching him on shrooms and having all these, like, realizations, I was like, that's one of my biggest inspirations, because not that he died, but it's like, he went all in for his character.
Yeah, all in.
Because he overdosed on drugs he was prescribed because of what playing the Joker did to him. Because
he changed his identity so much.
Yeah, he literally, like, he dived fucking deep. He had a journal. He was, like, doing all these, like, kind of artwork and, like
he was making
pictures and shit. Yeah, he was it. He embodied it.
Does that...
It's insane.
Let's stop for a second. Does that not prove right there that you can become a completely different person?
Yep, bro, you stole that from my mouth. I was gonna have to do that. I was like, is that not like the epitome of like manifesting something completely out of thin air?
He became a villain, a made up villain,
right?
In real life.
And it's not like you want to blow up hospitals, but it's like
he might
it
have.
It shows you what the power of your mind can do.
But he might have went and done that. Like, you don't know how it would have played out in the long run.
But it's funny. I love that you mentioned this whole like. Because it's all like the audience, the crowd. Because of course, his behavior was then congratulated. It was enforced by filmmakers, by the crowd, by the cast members. Like, dude, you're doing such a fucking awesome job. Like the silence. If you look at the interviews of actors that were working with him, they talk about the silence that was there when he was acting. And it was. It's a weird comparison, but I was watching a Jordan Peterson video, and he talked about how. You know, when you're in control, when you're the leader of a group, he's talking, he relates to Hitler, like you become the dark embodiment of, or even like it can be the dark embodiment or the positive embodiment, depending on like what side you're on. Mm-hmm. For Hitler, he was on the dark embodiment. He became the dark embodiment, not of himself, but of the crowd.
Right.
Because he said he would say certain things, and then if they roared to one thing, he would keep doing that.
Right.
You would just fucking keep embodying that. And then that's like, how come you got such a dark.
Yeah, you just cut out. Yeah.
Well, that was weird.
Did he just cut his phone? Might have died.
It wasn't just like Hitler was just like that.
Yo,
no.
We can hear you now.
Hello? Can you hear me? Okay. Okay, where did I
just
cut off?
Just go back, like, halfway through there.
Also, yo, after this, everyone check Snapchat, because I'm going to show you some weird universe shit. Because on my notebook, like, on my rookie notebook, on the opening page, I have a quote on it that I wrote in Fiji before. Like, that was before I even was talking to either of you. Like, months before. That was, like, in September. And just you can check it now if you want. Like, it's just a... I have that on the inside of my thing because Fijians know what's up, man. And, like, this... One of the really, like, philosophical guys that you can really have some deep conversations with, shout out Wani, really spoke some truth. And he told me this quote, along with a lot of others, but this was the one that stuck with me most. I just snapped all it. It's dope.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the quote is, "The mind is an excellent servant, but a horrible master." And I want to live life by that, because if you control your mind, like, you control your reality. But if your mind controls you, you feel like you have no control.
Like, little thing I said before. I need to connect it with something I have on my phone. You remember when I told you to read that poem by Rudyard Kipling? Maybe? Okay, I'll read one part of that, like, that poem that connects fucking perfectly to that. 1 second. I love this poem so fucking much. Like, this is, like, oh my god. It is literally, like, one of those things that's just perfect. It is so fucking perfect at displaying and, like, painting that picture of balance, but also, like, how to be a man in that sense, like, connecting how to be a man with balance. It's so perfect. And, like, and that one little part
we're just right downhill, there. Man.
Wait, 1 second. I need to...
I'm just listening to this, like, sitting back, and, like, I'm actually just, like, laughing at how funny this is going to be in, like, 5-10 years from now when we're looking back at, like, this conversation, like, mm-hmm. our first, like, official, like, real talk conversation.
This is, like, milestone shit right here.
This is a monumental moment for us three.
This is monumental, bro.
Yo, okay, yeah. Hey, and this is a funny thing. Remember when you're talking about thoughts and shit? Okay. I'm going to read you the whole poem, but there's one line that's going to hit you like a truck. But anyway, I'm going to read the whole poem. If by Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about. Don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, yet don't look too good, nor talk too wise. If you can dream, and not make dreams your master, if you can think, and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster, and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, if you can make one heap of all your winnings, and risk it in one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue or walk with kings nor lose the common touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more,
bro,
you'll be a man, bro, my son.
Fuck a poem. That
fucking
bars.
Poem.
Those are
fucking.
Those were
straight up.
I got chills from that shit.
But, like, this is that fucking line. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, how fucking true is that shit? With,
like, what we're saying. That's
everything. Like, everything we've covered really all to this point. Yeah,
not, like, send me that poem. I want that. I want that.
Yeah.
I want that, man. That was some real shit right there.
Messenger. I love that poem.
Straight heat.
Oh, it's
that was
fucking
a
beautiful.
Straight heat right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love it so much.
You know what? I think this is a great way to end it.
I think I am down with that.
All right. Well, welcome to everybody who is listening to this podcast. You are part of our downhill group. From here. It is all downhill from here. I'm going to sign out and let's get back on another call, guys. I want to talk some real life strategy because this is about in the clouds. This is what these podcasts are going to be about. Let's get into the dirt in a little bit and let's get grinding.
Fucking oath!
I love it. All right.
The grind never stops, man.
Thanks, people, for everyone listening. Catch you guys next time.
All right, easy.